Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're making it with Clark Weber.
Chicago.
How cool was that to hear CFL? State player on 720 WGN. So Radio Hall of Famer Clark Weber began his radio career just north of the border in Wisconsin in 1954. And in 61, joined the staff of WLS in Chicago doing overnights, just as his grandson, Bennett, is doing as we speak here, our producer. And then he went on to WCFL, MAQ, WIND, WJJD, WAIT, a powerhouse in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, he really made his way through, and I feel like that's kind of the only way to do it in order to really get your name sticking somewhere geographically, yeah. Whether it's, you know, at just a couple stations or in an entire state, and then eventually throughout the country as well.
His book that came out a couple of years ago, Clark Weber's Rock and Roll Radio, it was a fabulous read. It was just, I mean, it was really his life story. And for a guy that grew up just across the border and got to, you know, really launch his entire radio career here. I mean, you know, if you were listening to radio, you were listening to Dick Biondi and you were listening to Clark Weber.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, he was, it's funny. So as a kid, like my...
By the way, he's of course still with us.
Yes.
He's just not on the radio anymore.
Right. So, he's retired. He's hanging out. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
But it's funny because like, back when like I was still kind of getting the idea as to who my grandpa really was, my mom and my dad would be like, he's my mom's dad. And so she'd be like, yeah, you know, he's relatively famous. And like, and as a kid, you're like, ah, yeah, so is dad. Like, you know, everyone's famous as a kid. But yeah. I mean, I would introduce myself later on in life and like my parents would be like, oh yeah, I'm Clark Weber's like daughter. And then people, I just saw the reaction of people.
Yeah, right.
And they just dropped. And I was like, it slowly started to click as to who he actually was, what kind of career he really made for himself and how he is.
And he, you know, WLS was the big role. And I know he did a lot of Bob and Marianne show when Bob and Marianne were here because they were good friends and they knew each other for quite some time. But he was just inducted this year, too, into the Illinois Broadcaster Hall of Fame, along with, and I was looking at the legends, like think about who he's inducted with.
Right.
Jack Benny, Orson Welles, Oprah Winfrey, Joan Rivers, Dick Biondi, Larry Lujack, Dave Garraway, Paul Harvey, Mike Wallace, Bill Curtis, Orion Samuelson, Don Cornelius, Siskel and Ebert, and your grandpa.
It's pretty surreal.
Yeah, it is pretty surreal. So we're talking about a cup of Christmas tea. It was a tradition that Clark Weber read on the radio every single year. And this was on when he was doing WIND?
That is correct.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about the background of this.
So it started in roughly 1980, give or take a year or two. And so it takes us to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the Episcopal Church of Minneapolis was celebrating its 100th year of being around. And so they're like, all right, guys, we want to do something. Like, the board was getting together. People in the community, they were like, we want to really do something to make this special. So Tom Hegg of the church decided to write a story. He said, you know what? I'm going to make something good and make it meaningful and really put this out into the church community. Of course, he got a lot of praise. It really got some positive reactions from everybody. And they said, Tom, you should really consider publishing this. And so, you know, he's going around, I mean, the process of publishing a book, and he's going around having some troubles, and he finds himself going to Waldman Press, and he took it directly to Ned Waldman of Waldman Press.
Wow.
And he gave the book to Ned. Ned immediately started reading it, and he broke down in tears. He was crying hysterically because he said, this story is my Nana. He was Polish. He was brought up with a Polish Nana. And he said, this is the story of my Nana. I don't care if this makes a cent, I want to publish this book in honor of Nana.
Cool.
So they published it. It's out and it's getting some you know, some moderate success, you would think, saying, okay, great. Kind of fast forward, change the scene to WIND, my grandpa, Clark Weber, is working there, and actually Eddie Schwartz as well. He's doing some stuff there as well.
Right, he's doing overnights.
Yeah. And Eddie's walking through the halls, and he sees my grandpa, Clark, and he hands him a book. He says, "Clark, someone dropped this on my desk. I don't read poetry." And he hands it to him. And I'm just like, what am I going to do with this? He reads through it, and he says, "Oh, this is a pretty good story. Like, I really like this." He said, "You know what? I'll go ahead and just read this on my show." And sure enough, he's been doing it for about 30 years until he retired.
That's so cool. That's so very cool. So we have a classic reading of Clark Weber reading A Cup of Christmas Tea.
"Well, the log was in the fireplace. I had it all spiced and set to burn. And at last, the yearly Christmas race was in the clubhouse turn. I had the cards in the mail, had all the gifts beneath the tree, and about a 30-day reprieve until Visa was going to be catching up to me. Although smug satisfaction seemed the order of the day, I'm here to tell you something was nagging me and it wouldn't go away. Week before, I got a letter from my old great aunt. It read, 'Of course, I'll understand completely if you can't, but if you find you have some time, how wonderful if we could have a little chat and maybe share a cup of Christmas tea.' Well, she had had a mild stroke that year, which had crippled her left side. Though housebound now, my folks said, well, it certainly hadn't hurt her pride. They said, 'She'd love to see you. What a nice thing it would be for you to go and maybe have a cup of Christmas tea.' I didn't want to go. I mean, what a bitter pill to see an old relation and how far she'd gone downhill. See, I remember her as vigorous, as funny, and as bright. Oh, I remember Christmas Eves when she regaled us half the night. I didn't want to risk all that. I didn't want the pain. I didn't need to be depressed, and I certainly didn't need that kind of strain. And what about my brother? Why not him? She's his aunt, too. Well, I thought I had it justified, but then before I knew the reasons not to go that I so painstakingly had built, were cracking wide and crumbling in an acid rain of guilt. So I put on the boots and the gloves and the cap, yeah, shame stinging every pore, and armed with a squeegee, the sand, and my Google map, I went down the Kennedy and out my front door. I drove in from the suburbs to the older part of town, you know, where the pastels of the newer homes give way to the grays and the browns. I had that disembodied feeling as the car pulled up and stopped beside the wooden house that held that Christmas cup. I got up to her door. Really couldn't tell. I watched my hand rise up and press the button of the bell. So then I waited, aided by my nervous rocking to and fro, and just as I was thinking, 'Oh, for Pete's sakes, I'm going to turn around and go,' I heard the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall, the triple beat of 2 feet, and a crutch came down the hall. The clicking of that door latch and the sliding of the bolt, and then there was a little swollen struggle, and suddenly it popped open with a jolt. She stood there, pale and tiny, looking as fragile as an egg. I forced myself from staring at the brace that held her leg, and though her thick bifocals seemed to crack and spread her eyes, their milky and refracted lips just lit up with young surprise. 'Come in, come on in,' she yelled, and oh, she laughed the words, took me by the hand, and all my fears dissolved as if by her command. We went inside, and then before I knew how to even react, before my eyes and ears and nose was Christmas packed. It was alive and it was intact. The scent of candied oranges, of cinnamon and pine, the antique soldiers all standing in their military line, the porcelain nativity I had always loved so much, the Dresden and the crystal I had been told, mustn't touch. My spirit fairly bolted like a child out of class and danced among those ornaments of calico and glass. You see, like magic, I was six again, deep in a Christmas spell, steeped in a million memories that a little boy inside knew oh so well. And there among old Christmas cards so lovingly displayed, a special place of honor for the ones that we kids had made. And there beside her rocking chair, the center of it all, my great aunt stood and said how nice it was of me to come to call. I sat and rattled on about the weather and the flu. She listened very patiently and then smiled and said, "Oh, come on, what's new?" Thoughts and words began to flow, and I started making sense. I lost that phony breeziness that I sometimes use when I get tense. She was still passionately interested in everything I did. She was positive, encouraging, even like when I was a kid. Simple generality still sent her into fits. She wanted the specifics, all of the particulars, the bits. We talked about the limitations that she now had to face. She spoke with utter candor and with humor and good grace. But then, defying the reality of that crutch and straightened knee, on wings of hospitality, she flew to brew the tea. Oh, I sat alone with feelings I haven't felt in years. I looked around at Christmas through a thick, hot blur of tears, and the candles and the holly she had arranged on every shelf, the impossibly good cookies that she still somehow baked herself. But these rich, tactile memories became quite pale and thin when measured by the Christmas my great-aunt kept deep within her. Yes, her body halved and nearly spent, but my great-aunt was whole. I saw a Christmas miracle, the triumph of a soul. The triple beat of the 2 feet and the crutch came down the hall, the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. She poured 2 cups. She smiled, and then she handed one to me. And then we settled back and had that cup of Christmas tea. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Very cool.
And that was A Cup of Christmas Tea by Tom Hegg.
And read by Clark Weber. Maybe a new tradition here then on the Dave Flyer Show.
Maybe I will be reading it.
Oh, lovely.
From here on out.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Very cool. Very cool. The great Clark Weber, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this, 720 WGN.